Rick Stevens, financial advisor with FRS Financial Group, offers securities and investment advisory services through Waddell & Reed Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA and SIPC, and a federally registered investment advisor. FRS Financial Group is a separate entity from Waddell & Reed. Insurance products are offered through insurance companies with which Waddell & Reed has sales arrangements. The information presented on this show is solely for information purposes and is not to be construed as an offer to sell or the solicitation of an offer to buy any financial product or service mentioned. Waddell & Reed does not offer tax or legal advice. Please consult with a professional prior to making any financial decisions. Any opinions expressed are those of Rick Stevens and may not be the opinions of Waddell & Reed. The information is subject to change based on market and other conditions. For more detailed information regarding any of the topics discussed on today's show, please call 719-500-8700. This is Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial. Here's your host, Rick Stevens.
Thank you for joining us and welcome in to this edition of Money Matters, presented by FRS Financial Group. I'm Rick Stevens. I am your host, and this is your show. If you've got anything you would like to talk about, if you've got questions you'd like to have answered, please let us know. Give me a call, 719-500-8700. You can also shoot us an email, rstevens@frsfinancialgroup.com. You can go to our webpage, frsfinancialgroup.com. Click on that contact tab up in the top right corner. Feel free to send us a message, send us your question. We would love to hear from you. Well, folks, this week we are going to talk about the craziness that's going on in markets today. Now, the wonderful, fun thing about this is I don't typically go so crazy when we see this volatility happening in the markets like we have been in the last few weeks here to get the year started. You know, we've seen some ups. We've seen a whole lot of downs. We've seen some ups coming back again. And you know what the best part of it is? There aren't a lot of folks calling in asking questions about what do we do, what's going on. And the reason for that is that we have responded properly to those things going on in that world today. So we're going to talk about volatility. We're going to talk about responding versus reacting. And we're actually going to talk about how you get your head on straight to be able to make logical, rational decisions rather than letting emotion rule the day, because most of what we see going on in the news, whether that's on the upside or the downside, is emotionally driven. The sensationalism sells so well in talking about finances and in the financial world, because we make decisions emotionally and in a snap. And 9 times out of 10, or probably even closer to 95 times out of 100, they're the wrong choice. They're the wrong decision because we didn't think about it logically, rationally, work it through beforehand. So that's where we're going to start today. We're going to talk about responding versus reacting and what that means when we see whatever this craziness is going on. Responding to something. When we respond, and sometimes you may have heard this explained as the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat, right? The thermometer says, this is what's going on right now. This is, it's a fever. You've got a 103-degree fever, and this is what we've got to do to deal with it. Versus the thermostat, which says, you know what, I'm going to set the temperature of this room to 68 degrees. And it's going to stay roughly 68 degrees. And it's going to control the situation that we have at hand. So when we respond, we've built this piece in, right, where we take in our information. We take in this data of whatever it is going on around us. We think it through, right? We do some processing. We do a little bit of analysis on our own, whether that's, you know, just in our mind whether that's we write stuff down on a sheet of paper, we may bring out the wonderful calculator and start typing stuff in. Maybe we've got it in a spreadsheet, whatever the case comes down to. But we're going to take the information, pull the emotion completely out of it, and come up with a rational, logical plan. What do we do in situation A? What do we do when the market is way up? What do we do in situation B? What happens when the market is way down? What should our response be? We've thought these things through in a logical, rational manner so that when the situation arises, number one, while it might come at a time we didn't necessarily anticipate it, what is going on is not a complete and total shock. It's not a total shock to our system of, oh no, the sky's falling, Chicken Little, I don't know what to do. We've already thought through what is our well-developed plan. What are we going to do in the situation with contingency A, B, C? How are we going to respond when faced with these issues? That's the thermostat, right? That's setting that temperature for the room. We're going to decide in advance, these are the things going on. This is how we will respond to that. React is all about initial, immediate, and emotional. When we react to things, when we see the guys on TV dinging the buzzers and ringing the bells and going absolutely nutso crazy, they're trying to elicit a reaction from us, right? That emotional part of our brain kicks in. That's the fight or flight response, right? That's that part where we go, oh my goodness, what's going on? I've got to do this right now. And we oftentimes we react in an emotional and irrational way. We do things in situations like that that we would have never dreamt of doing before. We would have never set it up in such a way that, ooh, I've got an idea. When A, B, C happens, let me go X, Y, Z crazy. Right? We would never set that up if we were thinking it through. But when we react, rather than having our response all set and ready to go, that's what happens. Now, the way that I usually like to talk about this with folks, and you know, the folks in my Gen X category, they've seen it, they understand it. Boomers oftentimes will get this picture as well. Millennials, we're working on, right? We're working on it because this is out of Seinfeld, right? If you recall the episode where George Costanza is at a birthday party and there's a clown at the birthday party and they're baking something in the kitchen and all of a sudden something catches on fire. Now, if we have built that worst case scenario, house is on fire plan, we know how to get out orderly. We know where we're going to meet. We know, hey, if this happens, this is what we do to respond. Maybe we've even practiced that. You might remember that at school, right? Practicing the fire drills. And you got to go walk through the hall and get outside and stand in the line in the designated area. Right, we do all of those things so that when that happens, that's our response. We're nice, we're calm, we're collected. But in the Seinfeld episode, where George is at that birthday party and he just comes out screaming, fire, fire, and shoving kids out of the way and doing everything he can do to get out of that apartment. Right, that was not calm, cool, and collected. So we do not want to be George Costanza when it comes to things going on in the market. You know, we talked earlier this year about that idea of volatility, right? Volatility is that roller coaster. It's the up, it's the down. It's the up, it's the down. It is how the market changes, not just daily, but even inside of the day. In fact, we had one day in the market earlier this week where at one point the Dow was down 1,100 points. Okay, the Dow was down inside of the day about 3%. But by the end of the day, it was actually up 100. It closed up for the day, even though somewhere in the middle of that day, it was down 1,100 points. So being able to look at a situation, determine, you know, what are some of these factors around this situation? How is this working? And what are we doing to respond? Not to react, but to respond. We want to be that thermostat. Okay, we want to set the temperature in the room we're in. We don't want to come in and, you know, take the temperature and find out, oh my goodness, it's insanely hot, or oh no, it's horribly cold. We want to respond. We want to have that nice, calm look. Yes, we could be worried, right? It's okay to be worried. We're going to talk about later on in the show what has gone on in the market and different risk levels and what that means at different risk levels. We're going to talk about that. It's okay to be concerned, especially when it's your money, right? There is nothing at all wrong with being concerned about your money. In fact, if you weren't concerned about your money, I might be a little concerned about you, because that is one of the tools, right, that we use to live our daily lives. We should be concerned about it. But we need to be concerned in such a way that we respond to situations. We've thought things through. We've got a plan in place. We know what to do in all of the different what-ifs. And even those what-if, we don't know what the what-if is going to be. Nothing wrong with that. But the plan at that point is we sit down, we assess the situation, we build the plan, and then we follow from there. Right? Those quick knee-jerk responses, reactions, oftentimes are the ones that get us in the most trouble. Right? Oh my goodness, there's a fire. I'm shoving away kids, I'm shoving away clowns, and I'm running out that door. Don't George Costanza the situation. Don't do those things to escalate the emotion, to escalate the tensions, and to make it worse. We want to be able to walk in, see what's going on, recognize it for something that we either have or haven't planned for, and respond to that accordingly. Well, folks, we are up against that break here in the show. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit about things like strategic and tactical planning. We're also going to talk about risk tolerance. So stick around. You do not want to miss where we're headed next. So what's on your mind these days? Is it your retirement? Maybe it's paying for college. Maybe you've got a life insurance or a long-term care insurance question. Folks, this is Rick Stevens with FRS Financial Group, and we're here to answer those questions that you have. We'll walk with you all steps along the way, figuring out what is in your best interest, what is your goal, and what are the tools we need to get you there? FRS Financial Group, where we put your needs first. Give us a call at 719-500-8700. Or you can even go to our website. That's frsfinancialgroup.com. Folks, thanks for sticking with us through that break on Money Matters presented by FRS Financial Group. Today we are talking about that volatility going on in the market, how we need to respond to it versus reacting, and we're going to talk a little bit in this section about the actual rubber to the road, I guess, is the best way to put it. Ways to look at what you're doing inside of your investment world. Now, there are two basic philosophies when it comes to investing. One is a strategic management style. The other is a tactical management style. And the biggest difference between the two, and yes, they both look at short-term things, they both look at long-term things, but really the difference is what is the main focus. Main focus of strategic management is to say, hey, this is where we want to be in 20 years. Using this particular strategy over this length of a time should yield these type of results. And again, it's based on the strategy. What do we want to do? Do we want to be aggressive? Do we want to be growth-oriented? Are we more conservative growth? Are we in that much more risk-adverse side of being income and conservative income with the labels? Those are the labels that we use. What does that look like? How does it relate to volatility over time? Right? In the strategic model, we're looking out long distance. In a tactical model, we are, yes, still looking for that long distance concept, but we are more reacting to the things going on around us right now. Okay, tactical management has that short-term perspective. XYZ is going on in the market right now, then we need to make moves A, B, and C. Strategic is, hey, this is where we started. That's where we're going. We're just going to kind of let it ride out along the way. We'll make some adjustments if we need to as we see things getting closer, but we're looking at the long-term, caring about 20 years from now and realizing 20 years from now, last week didn't matter, versus the tactical, which said, oh, last week absolutely mattered, because last week fed us the information that we need to make the decisions regarding what we're invested in for next week. So tactical is a much deeper, much more hands-on approach, but it doesn't make either one of them bad, right? Either strategic or tactical. You can do well in a portfolio with either set of styles. You could use both styles for all that matters, right? Ultimately, it is hitting that long-term goal, that dream that you've got setting way out there somewhere in the future. But we've got to make sure that whatever style we choose, A, it's what chooses, we want to choose what fits our personality, right? We want to choose the one where we are comfortable with it. Because if we're not comfortable with it, we're going to be in for a rough ride, regardless of whether the market is doing great or the market is doing, you know, poorly and headed south, right? If we are not using the right style, the right philosophy, the piece that actually matters to what we are doing, we're going to be in big trouble. So we've got to have that philosophy going on in our management that actually works the same way that our philosophy works in general. Right, we want those advisors that mirror what we believe. Okay, that's going to be the biggest piece ever, choosing your advisor, having someone with the same philosophy as you, because that matters. That means you're going to be able to work together better. You're going to be able to build the right portfolios. It makes a difference. The other part to that is the risk tolerance. And I know we've talked about this more than once on the program, but risk tolerance matters. Here's what I'm talking about. As I am recording the show, the S&P 500 is down a little over 9% on the year. So if that becomes our benchmark, you would expect an aggressive portfolio to be down more than that. A growth to be down about that, a conservative growth to be down less, and as you run down that risk level, your income and your conservative income, they're going to be down even less in that time frame. So what does that mean? Well, the aggressive portfolio that I have for my investments is down 14%. That's not a shock to me and into my world, because I know what my risk level is in that. I know that when the market is down, it's going to be down even further, because I've got time. I can afford to be aggressive and ride the up and ride the down with those sorts of things. I have the ability to do that. I've got time on my side, and in my case, my time outweighs the volatility risk, because that is a risk, right? The increase and the decrease in the value of what you own, volatility risk, that's there. That's a big piece. But I can afford to deal with that right now. My dad, on the other hand, can't, right? He does not need the volatility to ride all the way up and all the way down on those things. And for him, with a market down 9%, he's down 7. He's down a little, but he's not down the full amount that the market is down. Why? Because we are more conservative for him in what we're doing. Yes, it's down. That's going to happen. It's hard to find things that will not go down when the market goes down. Now, there are ways to do it. There are different products and all that sort of stuff, and they've got to be the right tool for your situation, right? Because not every situation calls for a hammer. Not every situation calls for a wrench. Not every situation calls for, you know, using a 5-pound handheld sledge. There are specific tools for specific purposes. So when we're dealing with volatility, we've got to know what's the right volatility for that individual. As another example, in some of those portfolios with our folks who are on the low end of the scale, yes, they're down. But they're down on the year, again, where the S&P is down 9, they're down 2 or 3, maybe 4%. Okay, less than half of what's going on in the market movements. Why? Because they are risk adverse in these particular accounts, right? They are not looking to take on as much risk as we actually have out there. So the risk tolerance makes a huge difference. From a strategic planning and management perspective, right? We're going to come back to the strategic versus the tactical. In that strategic perspective, you look at your overall portfolio and you say, hey, for the next 15, 18 years, I want something that historically has averaged 10%, 11%, 12%. So that portfolio gets built in such a way that it's going to use the right mutual funds or the right stocks that are going to mirror what has happened historically. You're going to put these different pieces together on here and build that portfolio that works for that particular situation. And when we talk about that mix of portfolio pieces, right, Dave Ramsey talks about breaking it into four categories. It's aggressive growth, growth, growth in income, international. We actually break that down further. We take a look at it from things like the large cap, the big companies. We take a look at it with the small and the medium-sized companies. Those are small caps and mid caps. We looked at sectors. We look at international funds. We look at fixed income or bond funds in there. And there are even different types inside of each one of those, right? So if you're talking about sectors, those are things like real estate, consumer staples, technology, healthcare, right? You can get very specific inside of sectors if you want to, as we say in our practice, if you want to lean your portfolio one direction, right? You can put a little bit extra of this, that, or the other inside of there. For me, right, in my aggressive growth leans heavily into the technology sector. And quite frankly, being down 14% isn't too bad, because at the time, the NASDAQ is actually down about 15%. So I'm actually right in line with what's going on in that technology world in my own personal portfolio. It doesn't come as a shock to me. So when we build, right, we lean things. You may have heard folks talk about, a 90-10, 80-20, 60-40 split portfolios. And what they're really talking about that is how they adjust for the risk tolerance. A 90-10 is basically 90% equity, 10% bond. 80-20, 80% equity, 20% bond. 60-40, 60% equity, 40% bond. I usually tell folks like this, you think of equity, okay, those are stocks. So equity is the own side, it's the ownership side of your portfolio. And the bonds, those are loans, whether that's to the government, whether that's to a municipality, whether that's to a corporation, that's the loan side. So your own and your loan. And quite frankly, the more loan that you typically have inside of that portfolio, the more bonds that you have, their purpose is typically to try to smooth out some of that volatility. That roller coaster is not going as high up or as high down. So the more bonds you have in, the less risk, at least in terms of market risk, as we look at it, volatility risk, that piece gets lowered. So you want to make sure that your portfolio, the risk tolerance that you're following there, matches up with what you can actually tolerate yourself. Okay, if you're not sure about that, you're always welcome to give us a call. We'll sit down, we'll go over your portfolio, we'll tell you where you're at, we'll see if it matches with what you want to be doing, and we can talk about the different pieces that go on from there. Well, folks, that is all the time that we have for this episode of Money Matters. If you do have those questions, feel free to give us a call, 719-500-8700. We'd love to sit down and help you out. We'll be back again next week, continuing to talk about your money because your money matters. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.